Well, happy Easter. My name is Mark Warren, one of the pastors here at Grace Capital Church. I am glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. I know it's a little bit tight. Everybody managed to get in when the kiddos are there. If you're in the overflow, we have seats for you. For those of you online, I just want to say happy Easter to you. Today, I want you to realize that you are not here by accident, that God, by his design, has given you a little bit of a stir. Maybe you just said yes because somebody invited you, didn't want to make them feel bad, but I'll tell you what, by God's design, you are here. Doesn't matter if you've been a follower of Jesus for 50 years, 30 years. Doesn't matter if you're here checking out Jesus and like you're still unsure if God's real. Doesn't matter if you've had hurts or pains and that left you saying, well, is God good? I don't know if he's good. I don't know if he's trustworthy, but yet you're here. You're here and you don't really know what to expect, except we've just had some worship and now we're going to hear something from the scripture and I'm going to share something with you that I would just ask that you'd be present with me today. Just be present. I would just say if you just allow yourself to be maybe a little bit more open than you think you would be, a little bit more saying, okay, sometimes we get in these environments, you don't even trust your own emotions. But just say, I trust God with my emotions. That God is doing something very significant. There's something, wow, this was not on my pocket. My flashlight's on here, sorry. The light of the world has arrived and is not Apple. Apple is not the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Well, let me just read this scripture for you and we're going to dig right in here, but are you willing to go on this journey with me just for 20 minutes?
Yes.
Just to be open.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul writes this: Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And then he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive in Paul's writing at this time. But some have fallen asleep. Some have already since died. Then he appeared to James, then to all of his apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The reason I'm starting with that scripture, because I think it's fascinating who's writing this. Paul, who didn't know Jesus when he walked on earth before his death and resurrection, who was a persecutor of the church, who basically said, this Jesus guy, he's a bunch of bunk, and yet he has an encounter with the living God, the Spirit of Jesus, and wrecked his world. Changed how he saw the world, changed how he saw himself, changed how he saw God, changed how he saw Jesus. And he's saying that now this person who was actually a murderer, this person actually now is saying, can I tell you about this good news of Jesus? There's a couple dilemmas that I find that we face as humans who are pursuing living, that we're on this journey called life. And where faith and life intersect, we can either say that's religion, or we can actually have this belief that this is Jesus, but we have stages along the way. And today I want us to move from the cross to the empty tomb, to the years following the empty tomb, to there's another event that's going to take place. And why I'm breaking it down in those sections is because you're going to find yourself in one of these places. You might be here and said, you know what, I've already acknowledged what Jesus did on the cross. So I get it. He's not a historical figure. He's not some great prophet. I truly have believed that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. And I acknowledge that he went to the cross and he took my sin on that particular day some 2,000 years ago. He took the sin of everybody's sin from the past, the present, and the future. So he's taken our sin. It's like, well, what does that mean for us? Well, it means that we now have a relationship with the Father. See, sin separates us from the Father, but those who have believed realize that God loves us so much that he gave a way that we can have be in a relationship with him. So some of you who are saying, I don't know if I trust that God is good because of all the pain I've been through, I would just challenge you a little bit to say, well, maybe have you given your life to Jesus and that you can begin to get the comfort of the Father. So you might be here and saying, okay, well, isn't this Easter? We're talking about the empty grave here. We're not talking about the cross, but I think you have to start at the cross to understand then the empty grave. So when Jesus died, he took all the sin of the world, and then he died a physical death. And remember, we're physical beings like Jesus was. Jesus was fully man, fully God, but we're also made in the image of God. So we have flesh, but when we pass on, our spirit lives. Jesus, when he passed, when he died, when he was killed on that cross, his spirit lived. And so even though his body was placed in the tomb, he was alive. Where was he? He was in hell doing some business. I don't really know what the conversation was, but I know he stole something out of hell. Could that be right that Jesus was a thief? I don't know. But he stole the keys of life and death from hell. He took them back. Maybe they were always his, so maybe he just took back what was his. But there's something else that I've been reflecting on the tomb. The tomb's a place of death. The tomb is darkness. The tomb has a lot of sorrow wrapped up in it. I've been reflecting on this year, and so many of you have gone through deep, deep pain and deep sorrow this year. From losing loved ones in an untimely way to the tragedy. I did a funeral actually this past week for a family of a young man who tragically lost his life. And the pain that was in that room, and I literally, my heart was breaking, and all these young people, it was a kid who went to Pembroke Academy and played basketball here in this gym, and yet the people that were there to mourn his death, I just saw the brokenness. I saw the anxiety. I saw the pain. I saw the abuse of substances just to kind of cope through life. And in many ways, the compassion was, it's like they don't know Jesus. They don't know what's available to them. They're just trying to get through life the best that they know how. And they realize in the middle of that pain, they turn to things that think are going to give them some relief, but it only causes greater bondage. And many of us, we could say we've been there. When we don't choose to acknowledge what Jesus has done for us, and we don't choose to say that we want Jesus in our life to comfort us, we turn to other things to bring comfort, but those things that we think should bring comfort, and it's just temporary, it's just a mask, it actually brings greater bondage. But in this grave, as I've been thinking about all these young people, it's like I literally just wanted to just take my arms and like swoop them in close, like, can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you about Jesus? Because without Jesus, life's unbearable. Without Jesus, life's unbearable. And so then we have to realize, so we go to the cross, and then we go to this empty tomb. But what's in the tomb? There's a lot of death in the tomb. But what did Jesus bring into that tomb with him? He brought in depression. He brought in anxiety. He brought in addiction. He brought in pride. He brought in arrogance. He brought in all of the things that the world starts to like crowd into our lives. Jesus takes them and he brings them in the tomb with him. And it's a place of darkness and despair inside the tomb. But the interesting thing, after 3 days of being in that tomb, Jesus says, enough's enough. I've already gone to the pits of hell. Maybe he brought all that junk with him into hell where it belongs. And he walked out of that tomb, leaving behind his grave clothes, leaving behind the place of death. And I've been reflecting on that. And I think so often, we think about this story and we think about Jesus on the cross and the empty tomb as somehow like a historical event. And we just kind of go that was Jesus, but we forget that Jesus has called us to be a participant in all of those activities. Not that we go to a physical cross, but we have to do our part to bring our stuff to Jesus and acknowledge him at the cross. We have to meet Jesus at the cross. But I think a lot of times we can conceptually go there, but then we don't conceptually go into the grave. Today, that's what I want to bring you to, is the place that realizing that part of a journey in following Jesus also includes the grave. I think we fall short of acknowledging that Jesus is Savior, and then we take the pain and the hurt of the things that have happened to us in the world and our disappointments, and we carry them, and we realize they're not meant to be carried. They're meant to be in the grave. They're meant to be in the place of death. They're meant to be in the place of letting them be where they need to be. They need to die. They can't live any longer in our lives because it only brings more confusion, frustration, agony, and pain. And Jesus says that, no, as a follower of me, I want to carry that for you. I want to take care of that for you. And so we need to deposit that in the tomb, and we need to say this morning, what have you been carrying? What have you been like holding on to that you need to say, it's time to let it die. It's time to let it stay in the tomb and then stay in the tomb. I'm going to walk out as a new person. And today, that's what I'm asking you to consider. What is it that you need to leave behind in this quest of following Jesus, that you're going to leave that tomb like Jesus with new life and new hope? There's another challenge that I see. So even today, you might just say, you know what? That abuse that took place to me that I've been carrying, and I haven't really released the people. I'm going to leave it be in the tomb, and I'm going to release it to Jesus. And today I'm going to walk a little bit freer and I'm going to just all those things. My pride, you know, I've been chasing a dream for too long. I've been chasing business. I've been chasing all of these things, and all of it's leaving me is exhausted and depleted. And I'm going to allow that to go in the tomb today. My fear and anxiety, I've been almost crushed and paralyzed by it. And today you're going to place that in the tomb, and you're going to walk out of here with new life. That's some of us, but then there's others who have said, okay, I understand the cross, I understand the tomb, but then I walk on the other side and I've made a decision to follow Jesus, I've made a decision to say I trust him with my life, and then all of a sudden some things happen in life. And I could say, if you're honest, we've been there. Life is hard. You're going to have disappointment. You're going to have ongoing pain. You're going to have ongoing... I was just walking with these families. Some of these families are Christian families, and the pain that they have to walk through. But the difference on this side of the tomb is you have Jesus walking with you. What I have seen in such a stark contrast is the people of the world, in other words, the people who don't know Jesus, who don't know that Jesus wants to be with them, is they have to turn to the ways of the world to find comfort and peace, and the world will tell you, just mask the pain. Just do these things and you'll get by. You'll just get by. You know, keep working those 40, 80 hours. Just don't feel anything. You'll get by. And meanwhile, the things that you do to get by just add more bondage in your life, and you realize I've become more suffocated by the bondage of just trying to use the world's systems to try to cope with life. But on the other side of the grave with Jesus, when you walk with Jesus, you realize that the pain might be there, but the pain doesn't crush you because Jesus is there to heal your pain. And you realize on the other side of that the disappointments won't stall you out. The disappointments won't crumble you because you got Jesus who are walking with you in the midst of those difficult things. Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so we get to this place where we get on the other side of life and we realize life is still hard, and it creates some confusion. And I would say, unfortunately, as Christians, we talk a good talk. It's like, and with Jesus, yeah, we're free. And with Jesus, everything's fine. And with Jesus. And then all of a sudden we say, well, why do Jesus followers still have difficulties? And I just want to let you know that's life. Life is filled with difficulties. This world is a broken, fallen place. It is not fully redeemed yet. And as followers of Jesus, we're in this process of allowing our own lives to be healed and whole. But we're not quite there yet. The scripture says that we see through a glass dimly. Like we can kind of see what God has for us, and we can live it. And we've experienced, for those of you who follow Jesus, experienced the weight coming off of our shoulders of the burdens we've carried. But then we get these bumps in the road. And it's like, where is God now? And you have to remember where God is he's right there with you. He doesn't promise that you'll never have any trials or tribulations, but he promises that he'll never leave you or forsake you. And that's good news. That while you're going through that incredible grief of loss, to realize that God is there with you in that time, in that valley. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. God is with me. So we go to this stage where we go like, okay, I get the cross. I get that. Jesus took the sin, took my sin. Thank you, Jesus. I get the grave. Jesus took all the junk of my life, and now I can see myself in the grave, and maybe I need to leave some stuff there. I need to leave some grave clothes behind, right? When the Marys came to the tomb and looked into it, they didn't see Jesus. They just saw grave clothes. They just saw remnants of death. And God is maybe reminding, and Jesus might be reminding you and I today that there's some things that have to be buried, that we've been carrying it too long. Let it be buried today. You know what they are. Let it be buried today. And you're going to make a decision to walk on this other side, but know on the other side is, what's on the other side is Jesus is on the other side, and new life is on the other side. And it's Jesus walking with you. So as life gets a little bit hard again, guess what? You don't have to turn to those things that create greater bondage in your life. You turn to Jesus, who gives you hope, who gives you peace, who gives you freedom. And again, we could stop there today. We could stop in that story and say, that's hopeful. That's hopeful. But I think we stop short in telling the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is this, that there is going to be a moment in time where God is going to wipe every tear away. That there's going to be no more pain. It's not yet today. It's not yet today. But there's a day when Jesus is going to return. And he's going to be looking for his church, the people of God, who are saying, I'm ready for you, Jesus. Now, you might say, well, I don't really believe that. I mean, it is in the scripture, but maybe I don't really believe the scripture. Maybe these are just people who made this stuff up, and I don't know what I would believe on this. But I would just say, what if I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is the truth? Just what if? Would you live your life any differently? Would you consider the possibility of a hope waiting for you? Would you consider that today? That Jesus is really longing to restore everything that this world has torn apart. See, when sin entered in this world, at the very beginning, it started to tear this world apart. Families against families, death, sickness, you know, anxiety, depression, infidelity, you just name all the types of things, addictions, and you just realize that Satan has done a pretty good job trying to keep people isolated and deceived. And I'm here, my heart has been so burdened by the deep hurts that so many people walk who don't have the Lord. I just want to let you know that Jesus is real, Jesus is alive, Jesus wants to be in your life, and he's here for you. He's here for you. I also know, for those of you who are super sensitive people, I know that it can feel very unsure to trust your life to somebody that you can't physically touch or see. Maybe you've been extremely hurt, and so that idea of trust is really hard for you. But could I just encourage you, open yourself up. He's gentle. He's loving. He's kind. And he wants to walk with you and bring healing into your life. So not only did he go to the cross, not only did he take care of all the sin and give you a depository to put all your junk in the tomb and walk out in freedom, he's also there to walk with you when life gets hard. But then guess what? He's our soon coming king. I don't know if he's coming back in my lifetime. The world feels pretty unsure right now. I feel like he could come back in my lifetime. But I do know this. We're all going to meet him face to face. Whether you believe or don't believe, there will be a moment that you're going to meet him face to face. And with compassion in his eyes, you're like, for those of you who don't know him, he'd be like, but what? I was here for you. Why wouldn't you invite me in? I went knocking on the heart, the door that's in your heart. I went knocking on it. And why were you afraid? What was it that created resistance in you that wouldn't let me in? I think with great compassion, he'd still give you a big hug. But today, he wants to give you that day and that opportunity. I want to read a story of a girl named Emily. Kind of sums up what I feel like this message was about today. Emily's life was marked by a series of poor choices and deep struggles. Growing up in a broken home, she found solace in the wrong crowds, seeking acceptance and love in all the wrong places. Her path led her to the depths of addiction, where substances became her only means of escape from the pain and turmoil within. Despite outward appearances of success in her career, Emily was inwardly battling storms of depression, anxiety, and self-destructive behaviors. Relationships crumbled under the weight of her addiction, leaving her isolated and consumed by guilt and shame. In the midst of her darkest hour, Emily encountered a group of individuals who showed her unexpected kindness and spoke to her about Jesus. Skeptical at first, she couldn't shake off the feeling of warmth and hope that radiated from them. Intrigued, Emily began attending gatherings where she heard stories of transformation and redemption through faith in Jesus Christ. She listened intently as they spoke of the power of the cross to break the chains of sin and the significance of the grave, symbolizing the burial of the old self and the emergence of a new life. As Emily delved deeper into these teachings, she realized that Jesus offered her something she had been desperately searching for. An escape not just from her circumstances, but from the bondage of sin and the weight of her past. One evening, overwhelmed by the sense of surrender, Emily fell to her knees and cried out to Jesus, confessing her sins and asking for his forgiveness and guidance. In that moment, she felt a burden lift from her shoulders, replaced by a peace and joy she had never known before. From that day forward, Emily's life took on a new trajectory. With Jesus as her anchor, she began a journey of recovery, seeking help and support from those around her. It wasn't easy. There were setbacks and challenges along the way. But Emily clung to the promise of redemption and renewal as she had found in Christ. Through prayer, fellowship, and studying of the scriptures, Emily experienced healing and restoration in every area of her life. The power of the cross became her testimony. The significance of the grave reminded of an old life she had left behind. Today, Emily's life is a testament to the transformative power of God's love and grace. She walks in freedom, no longer bound by the chains of addiction and despair. Instead, she lives each day with purpose and hope, sharing her story with others and pointing them to the same source of healing and redemption that she found in Jesus Christ. Emily's story is our story. Emily's story can be your story. Each one of us has a past. Each one of us is a struggle. Each one of us have turned to things that have not been good or helpful. But we thought it was the way to cope. And somewhere along the way, people found Jesus. Or maybe here today, you're in a place where you say, you know what, I've resisted. I pushed Jesus away. And maybe, just maybe, today or over the next week, you might just gently say, Jesus, I want to trust you. I'm tired of carrying this burden of my mistakes, of my past. I trust you, Lord Jesus. Maybe some of you are still carrying stuff from your past and you need to deposit that in the grave and let it die, that Jesus wants to let it die there. He made a way for that stuff. You don't have to carry it anymore. Would you just kind of symbolically just kind of place it into the tomb and let it stay there, and you're going to walk out of here as a new creation. Maybe the hurt and pain of life has created confusion for you. It's like, where is God in the midst of my hurt and pain? I want to remind you that Jesus has been walking with you. He's been walking with you. You're not alone. Maybe today that's your reminder to say, turn to Jesus, turn to Jesus. He's there. He's there to bring peace, and he's there to bring comfort. And then maybe you just kind of like, hey, you know what? If we don't see our future, maybe we just kind of go through the motions of becoming religious. And Jesus reminding us, let's keep our eyes looking up. He is going to be returning for his church. He is going to be the returning king. You know, they thought that he was a king. They thought he, when he's going into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, that he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire. And Jesus was like, you don't understand that I'm not here for political reasons. I'm here to ensure that people are connected to their Father, and that life is restored to them, and hope is restored to them, and peace is restored to them, and freedom is restored to them, and relationships are restored to them, and hope and vision are restored to them because of Jesus. And then we realize that even though we see through this glass dimly in this world and there's still hurt and pain, there will be a day there will be no more suffering and no more pain. Hallelujah. But it's only through Jesus Christ. And all he asks of us is that, will you trust me? Would you give your life to me? That I can love you and I can love on you and I can heal you. And I can give you a hope and a purpose. And I can give you a future. Let's pray. Father, I am grateful for the work that you've done in my life. I'm thankful for the work that you've done in Emily's life. And the work that you're doing and continuing to do in all of our lives. Today, Lord, my heart specifically goes out to those who have resisted you, Jesus, that for some reason they haven't felt that they could trust you, that you're trustworthy. Lord, I pray that you would break through that heart today, that they would open themselves to realize that you are good, you're trustworthy, you're kind, you're gentle. You're oh so lovely. On this Easter Sunday, Lord Jesus, let us not only have a heart of gratitude for the cross and the empty grave, that you are alive and alive forevermore, that you are the Son of God, but let us be hopeful that there will be a new day, a day of your return, where you make all things right, redeem all things, make all things new. For that, we're grateful. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us. We trust that Jesus has spoken to your heart and you've been challenged by his word. If you'd like to know more information about Grace Capital Church, please visit us at gccnh.com. We'll see you next time.